All right, so this is Josh Rubenstein with Weedonopolis.com, and I am here talking with Kristen Nedopak. Say hi.
Hi, guys. And hi, Josh.
And Kristen and I actually, we go back probably about a year now.
We know each other from Fight Class.
From Fight Class.
The real and, Fight Class.
Yeah. From, we officially met at the Dr. Horrible sing-along blog last year after, like, mutual friends saying, how is it that you two don't know each other?
and tweeting each other and yeah, Facebooking
like,
each other.
apparently, like, there was this whole thing where, like, you and I were tweeting about chasing down the Game of Thrones food truck at the same time.
Isn't that funny? By the way, Josh is wearing a Game of Thrones shirt, so.
I am.
Which I love, Stark, House Stark, Direwolf, Brewing Company, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's a Stark Brewery's Direwolf Ale.
Nice.
Which I still have to talk to my friends about actually making
That'd be so good. That would be a huge hit. People would buy that.
I think so. So, some of the projects you're working on right now are, the Skyrim parodies are a really big thing. So, why don't you tell me a little bit about that and how that all came to fruition?
Well, the Skyrim parodies, I wouldn't say I'm working on it right now. I'm like obsessing over it is a better thing. We're in post-production right now, which is just taking, it's taking a while because I'm realizing that with all the special effects we have and the editing and all of the stuff that we wanted to do, it's like making these like big budget movies on like a tiny budget in my house. So it's just, it's taking so long and yeah. I had such ambition for them and they're looking amazing, but it's just the amount of time that you have to put into it to make it that good of quality is kind of shocking to me. I think I knew it took that much time, but so that's what I'm doing right now. And they came about when I actually hadn't played video games forever. I mean, probably for like 6-7 years because I just got busy and, you know, this city is a lot about hustling, so you're working all the time. Yeah. When you're not working to make money, you're working on the things that you love. And video games are a time sucker and they're so much fun that you just, once you start playing one, you can't stop. And so I've tried to avoid
<It's>
them.
So
everybody that plays video games knows what I mean. And there's people that play and I'm like, how did you get through like 5 games in a month? I don't understand how much time you have.
I thought I was pretty hardcore. I can't even do that.
No, not at all. Well, so it was about last November when Skyrim first came out, and Dennis and David from Think Hero TV, they ended up getting it, and they were talking about it, and they started making videos about it. And I kind of knew a little bit about what it was about. I love fantasy, so I started seeing imagery online. I was like, dragons, yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And then they go, okay, here's the deal. We're going to show you the live-action trailer. And they showed me that trailer,
right, yeah.
And then they showed me some of the gameplay, and I was like, are you serious? Okay, so I went home like that night, and I bought Skyrim. And I only had a PlayStation at the time because we were working, you know, we used it to watch television and, you know, play Hulu, that sort of thing.
Right.
So unfortunately, I got it for the PS3. But I ended up getting it, and then it was the holidays, which is very slow around LA at the time. And I didn't have much else to do, and I kind of wasn't working a lot at the time. A lot of my freelance jobs, you know, it was the holidays, so a lot of corporate companies aren't really working. So I dove into this game, and like 80 hours later, I realized that, you know, it, first of all, was like completely consuming my life. And second of all, I started having relationships with all these other characters.
That's the thing I've always heard about.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't played it yet, but I keep hearing how people just get so emotionally invested in this game.
Seriously. So Lydia, obviously, she was my first companion.
Right.
And even though you can get other companions, there's something about her that I love because she's a super hardcore chick. She goes to fight for you. In a way, it's good because, like, if you run into enemies, she just goes after them. And there was a while where I was learning all my skills that I wasn't that great.
Yeah.
And I would just send her in a battle. I was like, cool, awesome, I don't have to kill anybody, you know, because I wouldn't die as easily.
Now, describe Lydia a little bit, because that's who the first parody is about,
absolutely.
Is Lydia.
Most of the parodies are about Lydia. Lydia is this warrior. She, you know, she's just this badass. But at the same time, she's not like the sharpest tool in the shed. So, I mean, that's just the only way I can know how to describe her.
That's the impression I got
like
from
I
the Perrys.
Like I said, I mean, she's like, she, you know, she's like an attractive woman. She's she's awesome. She's loyal. And she will fight for you. I mean, I heard about other companions that kind of just stand there and they don't really do anything.
Right.
But she, like the moment there is trouble, she is there. But the only problem with that is if you want to sneak up on somebody, she doesn't know. She just goes right into battle. She gets in your way all the time. You end up killing her all the time. And so that's kind of where the love-hate relationship came in.
Right.
Is I would be playing like 2 hours trying to kill a dragon, and next thing you know, she'd run up to it and get eaten. And it's like, oh my God, now I have to start over. It's been 2 hours. I couldn't kill this stupid dragon, and now Lydia's dead, and she has... Here's the thing. They carry, like, all of your stuff. So
oh,
now
no.
all these awesome weapons that I had, my pack mule over here is dead.
Uh-huh. And they've just been eaten by a dragon.
Yeah, so you had to restart the game. And I found myself...
Oh, that would drive me nuts.
And that's where To Lydia With Love came from, is I was yelling at the TV, and I'd be screaming at her all the time, and Dane would be in the other room laughing. You know, he'd come in and, like, shut the door, like, yeah, I'm trying to work over here, and you're screaming at the TV.
Uh-huh.
Well, like I said, at that time, I had been hosting a lot and acting, and I had been producing a lot of other type of work, and I sort of stopped for a while because, you know, so much work to do, everything
right.
yourself, and
oh, yeah.
and I started just trying to be part of other people's projects. Well, I realized I kind of missed being a creator,
mm-hmm.
and so I thought, just for fun, this isn't anything serious,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to borrow my friend's green screen, and I'm going to borrow my other friend's lights, and I'm going to set up this thing in my living room, and I'm going to invite my friend Lauren over, because she looks exactly like Lydia.
Okay.
And it's like going to be us and a camera dude, and
mm-hmm.
Dane was going to help with the acting, and I'm just going to make this little parody, because I think it's funny. And I want swords to be in it, because that's awesome, and I have access to all these swords.
Right,
and,
right.
And, you know, I love making costumes, so it was kind of for fun,
mm-hmm.
and then when I put it out there, I mean, I thought, yeah, some people might watch this.
It got a huge response.
It did. It blew up. And I just had so much fun making it.
Mm-hmm.
And the response I got from people to me was validation that they liked my work. And so I did the Indiegogo campaign, and then we got funded for more. And Josh is a big funder, by the way, so thank you so much.
I'm a double dipper.
You're a double dipper, and I love it. Huge funder, and I really appreciate it. But that, too, you know, it was like people believe in your work, and people are willing to actually put money into this.
Yeah.
And so I want to make these parodies as amazing as possible, especially for the people that help fund it.
Yeah.
That's my main goal.
That's really cool. So you're in post-production with these now, but you've put out one or two of them already. Is
yes.
That,
yeah. I put out a few teasers,
mm-hmm.
and then I put out a very short one.
Right.
What I ended up doing was, the funding was for two bigger parodies.
Right.
You know, the same length as To Lydia With Love.
Mm-hmm.
But since I made all the costumes and I had the people there and I paid for the set, I thought, let's squeeze in as many little ones as possible.
Okay.
So I ended up actually making 6 of them.
Wow.
And some of them did end up being longer. Most of them are longer. And then the other one that I posted online called Stealth Attack, that was one of the very, very, very short ones.
Okay, yeah.
Well, what ended up happening, and I can't really say for sure, but there is a very large YouTube channel that is super interested in releasing them.
Oh, very
and
cool.
And so you guys can pretty much guess who it is, but I'm not going to say it. And I showed it to them.
I can probably make a pretty educated guess.
Let's not say that on the record. But they, you know, I met them at a party, and they saw the parodies, they saw the teasers, and they loved them. But their one thing was, they have to be a certain length for YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like I'm going to be taking Stealth Attack and would be looping it in with the action scene. So there's probably going to be 4 or 5 of them, as long
okay.
as most of them are going to be the right length. But YouTube, you know, you need like 60 seconds or something like that.
Right.
So that's the reason why people haven't seen any more yet, is because they want to release them in succession.
Okay.
And it takes so long to do post-production, so I have to have them done first,
mm-hmm.
and then boom, 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 they're going to come out once per week.
Okay,
so
cool.
Hopefully
well,
that's the plan.
Everybody has that to look forward to.
I know, I'm super excited. I'm looking forward to it.
And but you premiered a couple of them at Dragon Con.
Well, To Lydia With Love ended up being in the Gen Con Film Festival because it was the first one. I sort of played it off as a film. It technically was a film, and now it's part of the overall series.
Okay.
It's probably going to be re-released as, you know, as part of the new series. There's some cleanup work that I want to do.
Okay.
But yeah, it was at the Gen Con Film Festival in the fan film section.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it was so cool to be there, like 10 a.m. in the morning with people I didn't know anybody in the audience, mm-hmm. and they all laughed.
Excellent.
Like, really hard, and that's what I wanted. I've never seen it live. I've never put it in front of people, not on YouTube.
That's such a cool experience, isn't it?
So great. You know, you're crossing your fingers like, okay, are they gonna laugh? Is it gonna be dead silent? Is nobody gonna have any idea what I'm talking about?
Right, right. But everybody got it, and everybody was into it.
Even the people that didn't play Skyrim, the one guy came up to me and he said, you know, if anybody's ever played a video game with companions, they know exactly how this feels. And I said, thank you.
That's sort of how I felt, because I haven't played Skyrim myself, but I've played games like Fallout and stuff like that, where you have those NPC companion mm-hmm. characters, and like... And
they're never perfect, and they always get in the way.
there's this one guy in Fallout. It's this big... this big mutant guy, and for the life of me, I can't remember his name. Somebody in the comments section will, I'm sure, tell me what his name is.
Hey, that's gonna be your first comment.
Yeah. And when I'm running around, he is always getting in my way, especially when I'm having to navigate through these tight corridors and stuff. And I'm like, dude, move!
Yes. And that was at the end of To Lydia With Love, is that was her number one thing, was you would go into like a tent or you'd go into a room mm-hmm. and she would stand in the doorway. And then you just can't get them to... It's like, if I'm going to be able to tell her to follow me and hold my stuff, mm-hmm. why can't I tell her to move? Like, why is that not a command?
What? I'm just like, how are the programmers still not able to master this aspect of these characters? Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the same time, it fuels great parodies.
Absolutely. That she does quite a few things that irks me.
So the other big thing you're doing is the Geeky Awards.
Yes.
Tell me more about that.
Well, the Geeky Awards, I'll give you a little bit of a background as to why I founded the Geeky Awards. It's launching this weekend, first mm-hmm. of all, at Kamikaze. It's not part of Kamikaze, but because I have a panel at Kamikaze, mm-hmm. I kind of wanted to use that event to launch it.
Okay.
Essentially, you know, as a creator, as a geeky creator, you're always trying to find ways to promote your work. And there's film festivals, and then there's web series awards, and, you know, there's all those sorts of things online and, you know, and other type of events. But I found that there's usually only one geeky category. You know, it's like at a film festival, it'll be like sci-fi fantasy, best sci-fi fantasy film.
Right, right.
And like, how many people are trying to fit their little geeky show in this one category? Other than something like Dragon Con, which is great, but it's only a film festival.
Right.
And I started thinking about all these other things that I did, you know. I'm into cosplay, you know, like there's people that are great comic book artists. And there aren't a lot of award shows that sort of envelop everything that's geek and bringing everything together under one umbrella. And so, you know, usually it's a film festival or it's just a cosplay top 10 photos we saw at Dragon Con or something like that.
Right.
And so I really wanted to celebrate everything that is geeky in one show. But at the same time, when you're submitting stuff to awards, it's a little bit of a popularity contest. You know, you see the, you know, quote unquote, there's indie awards, but you see people that have larger budgets, mm-hmm. that have a lot, they know a lot of people in the industry. Those are the people that are winning the awards.
Right.
So with the Geekies, my goal is to make it truly independent, and I want to take those people that are winning the awards, and I want to make them judges.
Okay.
Judges in each category, so somebody that's an expert film maker or an expert web series producer or someone that's amazing at cosplay, they would be judging up-and-coming people that are not established at all.
Oh, that's such a cool idea.
Yeah, and so, you know, we're launching the Geekies website. It's going to be very basic until we get submissions, but the whole part of that is when you submit your work, if you fit the requirements, which is basically, you know, you need to have a video or photos of your stuff,
right?
You're going to be posted on the website.
Okay.
So all the submissions, whether you're nominated or you win, will be on the website for people to see.
Oh, cool.
So I just think that, you know, I always have this thing, you know, one of my life goals is to support artists and up-and-coming artists,
mm-hmm.
and And I know how hard it is to be an up-and-coming artist and to get yourself seen. And so I created the Geeky Awards to do that.
Okay.
And so I also wanted to mention I'm partnering with Bill Ostroff from First Lens Films.
Okay.
And I love Bill because he's a great business guy, and he's been doing film festivals for 15 years.
Oh, cool.
So he has the experience that I don't have in submissions and the process of judging and getting those sort of sponsors for the event and that sort of thing. And so he's been a really great sponsor, a really great partner, And he runs most of the Facebook and Twitter because he's really great with social media. I'm super excited about that. And I just I hope it takes off because I think a lot of undiscovered talent, it's like, I hate to say it, and don't hate me, guys, it's like the American Idol of the Geeky. That was horrible.
But the purpose is
it's undiscovered talent
that
might not otherwise get a chance to shine.
But it's undiscovered talent that actually is passionate
is
about
talented.
Their stuff, as opposed to the people on American Idol who are narcissistic and are just looking to get on TV.
Oh, absolutely. There's some people I'm like, why are you on this show? You think you can dance. That's a better example. Those people are definitely passionate dancers.
Yes, they are.
But it's not a reality show.
No, it's an awards thing.
It's an awards show.
Oh, that's so cool. So tell me a little bit more about like your geeky life and how you got to where you are today.
God, you know, it's
I know that's a huge question.
No, it's actually a great question. First of all, I grew up geeky. I mean, you know, I know that's such a cliche word to kind of use, but you guys know what I mean. My mom and dad are both kind of geeky. My mom is very into sci-fi fantasy. You know, I grew up watching, and vampires, you know, she loves vampires.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up watching Star Wars, and my mom loves Star Trek, and I apologize, I am not that knowledgeable of Star Trek.
That's okay.
Other
not
than a few
is.
Will Wheaton episodes, and I remember being like, who's that hot guy? I'm sorry, but he's still hot. But other than that, you know, I'm really into fantasy, so I grew up watching Labyrinth and Dark Crystal, and like my mom was just so great with not censoring television for us. You know, she would just kind of, she knew that we were really creative kids, and she would just set us in front of the TV, and that's the type of stuff that she would show us. Well, then on the other hand, my dad was a huge BBC fan, so my dad.
So you got the Doctor Who.
Everything
and all
about
that.
Doctor Who. Oh yeah, Young Ones, Doctor Who, Benny Hill, like everything, every British comedy thing you can possibly imagine, a British show, my dad watched.
Okay.
So I had kind of like a little bit of both, and I have to say, you know, you kind of lose that sometimes growing up. Like you get older and you go to college and you get into sports and you get into different things. And it wasn't until a few years ago, I mean, I've always liked this stuff, but I never thought of having a career that was geeky.
Mm-hmm.
But a few years ago, I started hosting. And one of the major things you do as a host is that they make you have a brand. Because the thing about hosting is, it's your personality, it's your passion.
Right.
Your foot in the door is the thing that you're most passionate about and the thing that you're most knowledgeable about.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about it, and I was like, you know, I'm a huge geek. You know, I love geeky movies. I'm a special
effects. That's sort of where it sort of clicked for you?
Yeah, and it was great because you always want to talk about what you're passionate about. And so we would do showcases where you had to pitch yourself and you had to create your own type of shows. Mm-hmm. And I kept coming back to this. It was a combination of movie making, behind the scenes, and all the visuals that went into these epic movies, and geeky movies and TV shows.
Okay.
Because obviously that's what I want to try to make.
Right.
So ever since then, like, it just sort of launched, and every single thing I've done after that has been totally geek, you know, from Fight Class to Think Hero, and I'm loving every second of it.
And Fight Class is such a cool series.
Yes.
Those of you listening on the web, if you haven't heard of it, Kristen produces and hosts another web series called Fight Class with Jan Bryant and Dan Speaker.
And Kim Turney is our co-producer and director.
And what they do is they break down famous fight scenes from, what have you done, Game of Thrones and
Army
of Darkness.
Princess Bride.
Princess Bride,
Space Jam. Oh, Hook. That's the other one. I was like, Hook, I'm spacing out the biggest one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we actually had Dante Bosco come reprise his role as Rufio.
Which was so cool to see.
You know, and the awesome thing about Dante is that he is still that good. I mean, you know, they brought him back.
He looked that good when he was doing it in the show, yeah.
And that's an ode to, you know, Academy Fight Class, who runs Fight Class and who, you know, who I'm partnering with on the show. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a little bit more of their show that I produce and host.
Right.
But it's an ode to them because they had taught Dante, they had actually choreographed Hook,
right,
and they had taught Dante, and so when he came back, he remembered all these moves, and he hadn't fought in like 20 years or something like that.
It really was like, it looked like he was just riding a bike, just got right back up on it and was doing it again.
And he's very athletic, and he's such a great guy. Yeah. He's a very physical guy, so he picked it up, and he was amazing. Not much training, honestly, not much training.
Wow.
Not much retraining, I should say.
And Jan and Dan, they run the... It's the Academy of Theatrical Combat.
Yeah.
And I've taken classes with them. I was in fight class for a while. And they're so cool.
They are
and
so cool.
They break down the fights in such a great way. And they do that on the show as well.
Yeah.
Which is something you don't see a lot. Like, you see, like, people doing the moves, but you don't really see too much of the explanation of why you do that move.
Why and how it works. And that's something that I'm very interested in, demystifying the filmmaking process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great start, is, you know, when you're doing action movies, you always see the end result. You always see,
right,
here's what it all looks like when it's glamorous and everybody, you know, the camera angles are right and the editing is perfect. But you don't actually see what it takes to learn those moves. And you know, another thing that they teach, I think they teach at colleges now, is actually how to shoot those moves, which is brilliant because I just love showing the behind the scenes. And I think it's just, it's kind of more fun in a way because you get to see us play around and you get to see me learn all the moves. And, Jan is such a brilliant educator, and she's, you know, she's well-spoken and she knows how to teach you. And then Dan's over here joking and making perverted comments.
He totally does. Like, you get
him and I are the perverts of the show.
Get him talking about Scotsman and Sheepy, he'll be there till morning.
Exactly. But also what I love about Dan is he has so much historical knowledge that
he
you
really
can ask
does.
Him anything and he knows. It's like, oh, where did this helmet come from?
And everything has just like this totally incredible story behind it too.
Yeah.
And he knows it all.
Yeah. It's kind of, you know, sword making and sword fighting, it's a little bit of a lost art. And so I think that a lot of people have fun watching the show because they find, you know, they find out these interesting facts and then they find out how to do moves. And I'm really interested in knowing if anybody actually goes home and tries them with broomsticks.
Which you should. I mean, yeah, go to the website, sign
I'm
up for a class.
I'm not encouraging it.
sign up for a class. They have beginner's classes every month and it's just a fantastic experience.
It is. It's so much fun. Who doesn't want to hold and play with a sword?
Seriously.
That's what anytime someone walks into my house and they look at my sword, I hand it to them and they touch it.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, no matter who you are, this thing comes over you where you're just...
You just feel badass.
You transform into Conan the Barbarian. It's awesome.
You totally do. Like, I absolutely love doing the broadsword fights just because I had this huge sword. And those things are not light.
Oh, I actually... It's such a funny story that I want to tell you guys. It'll be quick, but I went on the O'Brown show. I don't know if you guys know O'Brown. He's from Cypress Hill.
Okay.
He's a rapper, you know, hip-hop artist. So, right, the furthest thing away from medieval fantasy you can imagine. I don't think he's ever touched a sword. And it was his birthday, so he had me on as a guest, and he wanted to talk about Fight Class. He wanted to show it. And it was his birthday, so I brought him a sword that I had purchased pretty cheaply somewhere. And he was obsessed with it. The entire episode, he was playing with it. And so it was totally distracting. And there's a perfect example of, like, this guy. He's, like, this hip-hop guy from Cypress Hill. And here he's, like, playing with a sword.
Yeah.
And he would not put it down.
It's, like, the universal thing.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Well, Kristen, thank you so much for talking with me.
Yeah, thank you.
I guess, I don't know if this... I'm going to try to get this up before Kamikaze, but if not... then you will have seen her at Kamikaze.
We have a panel.
If it goes up before Kamikaze, then what panel are you going to be on?
We have a panel. It's called Geek Girls Create Presents, Creating Work from the Ground Up, and it's Sunday at 1 p.m. I believe it's in room 306 AB. They all kind of sound the same, but it's myself and a whole bunch of amazing geeky creators, Bonnie Burton, Cricket Lee, Stephanie Thorpe, and Teal Scherer, and they're amazing women, and so I think it's going to be a really good time.
Yeah, that should be fun. All right, well, thank you again,
thank
Kristen.
Thank
you. And thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you again.
Fun.